And as we were walking behind that tractor in the spring of 1970, he said, "Someday I'll make $100,000 a year and you'll make twice that."
Podcasting from WealthWave Studios in Johns Creek, Georgia, this is Leadership Now, the official vision and strategy podcast of WealthWave.
Just so you know, there's two things you really want to know about me. One, you can thank a preacher that once said, "God gave you that voice, so use it." So you don't want to sit in front of me in church, front of church. And a couple of people have heard me karaoke, so they know that's true. Second part is you don't want to be in front of me at a ball game. Because as my youngest brother can attest, you can hear me at center court, and he still hasn't forgiven me after about 30 years from that high school game when I yelled something out from the top bleachers. Maybe you're a little like me. Maybe it took a lot of experience. Some people call it job hopping. I'll call it experience, to really test out several things. I grew up on a small farm in Ohio with seven brothers and sisters. Of course, you learn all kinds of things on a farm, especially how to fix things with baling wire when you don't have a lot of extra money to fix it with the real tools you need. So we learned that. I tried to make money raising rabbits, trapping, baling hay, chopping wood. Yeah, I do know how to chop wood because we had a wood-burning stove back then. Shoveling coal, doing body shop repair with my best friend, painting, mowing lawns, working in a butcher shop for 90 cents an hour. So when I went off to college the next year and got minimum wage, I thought I'd died and gone to heaven at $1.67. Oh yeah, in that job, I got up at 6:30 in the morning to work in the cafeteria. What college student in their right mind would do that? But I grew up on a farm, remember? So 6:30 was sleeping in. I became a campus bus driver at Kent State University, which was great. On the coldest winter days, I controlled the doors. So the last person on was the prettiest girl I could talk to while I was taking her back to her dorm on campus. Great dating tool. I went into cable TV sales for a whopping 2 weeks at the front of the cable TV business. But with no training, I thought, I'm done with this. I worked in the bakery at 4 o'clock in the morning, thank God, because the only thing I got to eat was a fresh loaf of bread every day, because I was hungry. I was hungry for a future, and I was hungry. I was by myself and trying to make a go. I went to work for a major oil company, and I chased pipelines both onshore and offshore. I can tell you about that someday. I went into the real estate appraisal business. I can tell you what this building's worth because bankers and investors needed to know. And I was really good at it, but I learned to hate it. I went into industrial sales after that, and thank God Dale Carnegie came along. That $1,000 investment changed my life compared to my two previous college degrees. Then I went into national sales manager, and I was depending on others to sell. Not on me, but on others, hoping they would sell so I could make money, right? And then I became a financial educator and a glorified teacher. And now I get paid a truly exactly what I'm worth. And thank God for WealthWave and our great business platform that lets us do that. And by the way, along the way, I tried real estate with no money down. And anybody that would like to take over two condos in Maumee, Ohio that I've owned for 36 years, I'm still trying to get rid of those. I tried 900 numbers with my oldest brother. Some of you go, "Well, 900 numbers, what are those?" Well, it's a great way to have a bad experience. In 1990, though, I call this my Christmas book. Because in 1990, my brother-in-law, Jeff Moore, gave this to me for Christmas. I'm not sure why. Was he worried about that I wouldn't take proper care of his youngest sister? That maybe someday he'd have to take care of her and me too? Because he retired at 50 to never look back. And then I joined their club. It was $350 of some of the best money I ever spent. In 1991, I have how many brothers and sisters? Seven. I bought seven copies of this, and they got their Christmas book. The problem is, it's like a book on dieting. If you don't read it and follow it, it doesn't do any good, right? Well, then in 1994, when my brother called me and invited me to go to him with him to learn about a company that bribed us with homemade chicken enchiladas. And when I learned earlier, that was thanks to Dusty Vaughn. And they just asked us to take a look. And we did. And what they were doing is bringing this book to life. It's just like, you know, I have a fitness instructor. You need somebody to help. And so they allowed me to bring this book to life, invited me to help them to do the same. And we did. My brother went on to build two other companies. He's still in Austin, Texas, where I started. And now we are both financially independent. So let me help us define the difference. Let's compare what a common person calls financial independence. They depend on their company. They depend on it if they keep their job or not, or they keep you. They depend on others to do the right thing. God, we can't think of any companies like that lately, right? They depend on others to learn the trade. I worked as a national sales manager, offered to pay for other people's professional training for other companies at my expense, and they refused to send their people to training. So my life depended on that. Great, right? It depends on who I know and what degree I have. Or financial independence, as I describe it, truly independent and dependent on me and my efforts. I know I'm showing up. I'm dependent on a system of proven success. Dependent on mentors who celebrate my success and aren't threatened by it. Dependent on allowing others to succeed. And dependent on building something bigger than me and operates independent of me. Now let's compare some more. My top three mentors, and I identify them by name. Elvin Benton. Maybe if you live in Marietta, you know Al. Randy Miller and Leo Miller. Al and I had lunch just last week. I was his first employee. And I don't know if it was because of a good sales job or the referral from a classmate at Georgia State University or the fact that I knew where Syracuse, New York was and had been there before because that's where Al was from. I left 4 years later after training two of his sons and two other guys and got my last check. Al did thank me the other day for helping him build his business. He was just lucky I quit him and quit the industry, because I would have probably duplicated exactly what he did. He went down the street and built the competition. He's lucky I didn't, right? I was paid well, but I was unfulfilled. Then there's my brother Randy Miller, my oldest brother, who planted that seed. That seed that when I was a freshman in high school and he was a freshman at BGSU, the home of the other Falcons. As we were walking behind my dad, of course, he got the privilege of driving the tractor, and we were doing what's called picking up roots. After you clear a woods and you want to convert it to farming, there's still some labor you have to do. And as we were walking behind that tractor in the spring of 1970, he said, "Someday I'll make $100,000 a year and you'll make twice that." Now you got to remember, my parents, my dad, farming and working in a factory, were barely clearing $10,000 a year. How do I know that? Because that's how I got to go to school for free. It's called grants. And adjusted for inflation, what my brother predicted is exactly what happened. And I don't know whether he's a fortune teller or just was setting my expectations for my future, because he learned about a new world. And then there's Leo Miller, something else you should know about me, I cry easily. My dad, pictured in this picture in 2002. He taught us how to work hard, show up on time and stay late no matter how late you were out the night before, be honest, treat everyone fairly, and take care of your family no matter what. And now I just do that. This is my closest family, my two sons, my daughter-in-law, and my grandson. And here's my seven brothers and sisters and my mom, who's about to turn 90 in December. So he told me to take care of my family, and thank God I can. Now let's go back to financial independence with a couple of examples. Example one, not worrying about how soon I'm going to be downsized out. I met a friend on Sunday of a friend. We only spoke for a while on the train ride down from Alpharetta to the Falcons game. But he parted ways like this. He said, "I've been here for 23 years, and I still fear the same fate that our mutual friend experienced 15 years ago, a pink slip. Yet he's married into the family who owns a very, very large corporation." Or not worrying about market conditions and how they could screw up plans for college educations or plans for retirement. How many got hurt by 2008 and have done nothing to fix that issue compared to my next younger sister and her husband, who set plans in 1995 to retire at age 59 in 2015. While markets were crashing, they were not. And while they were in the midst of a decade-long battle of leukemia for their youngest daughter. Rick cried that day in 2015 when his goals were met and when he was given the freedom to spend more time with Crystal. during the last years of her young life. She's gone now, but she's my hero. And three, building my own business, not someone else's, but with a bunch of capital. Not with a bunch of capital, with the same bunch of time I gave everybody else. I built the companies like Marathon Oil Company, L. Benton, L. I. Corrosion Sickness Instruments, and now I have, and my family has, a true business. A business that can leave a legacy behind that my wife's father started, and we can pass on today, Frank Moore. And last but not least, financial independence given to others by giving them a chance. Teaching them how to get started, whether it's 10 bucks or 10 hours. To do something to be more efficient with their hard-earned dollars to get to their financial independence, to their goals, their dreams. And to be like my mom, who's not one of the over 60% that Tom talked about. My mom's not worrying about running out of money, even though she just joined assisted living last month and will be 90 in December. So whether you're here, and you've heard from a handful of people, some of them bigger than others, we would invite you to come back. If you can't figure out exactly what we've done after you've heard all the speakers, it would be our privilege to entertain you. We want you to kick our tires, all four if you need. And if not, maybe you know a friend, a family member, a son, daughter, cousin, coworker, old coworker that needs to be introduced to us. So thanks for your valuable time today.
Thanks for listening to Leadership Now, the official podcast of WealthWave. If you like our show and you want to know more, check out wealthwave.com/podcast, or you can leave us a review on iTunes. Join us each week as we talk about the topics you'll need to help you grow as an entrepreneur and succeed in the financial business with WealthWave.